everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Hurricane Katrina when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days, about half. Now, the global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years under the Club of Rome plan. Well, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel, told us essentially the same thing in essentially the same words by using the terms false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, back in the 1920s, about half of the people living in the United States lived on the land as subsistence farmers. They produced their own food and food for the rest of the world and food for you and I. Now, today, we Americans have chosen to live in the city. And now only about 3% of us live on the land. 97% of us then are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, all right, and we import grapes from Chile and tomatoes from Mexico and berries from Guatemala. And our food supply is now in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. And these globalists with the genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home education if you're online. Why don't you go to the website georgegordon.org, just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about Hurricane Katrina, and I said it's got God's fingerprints all over it. I don't think the average preacher or the average churchgoer sees God as being the cause of Hurricane Katrina. Preachers talk about the mystery of God. We don't understand God's plan. We don't know what God is up to. We just haven't got a clue, but we have to have faith, and we have to plug in or plug along, and we have to go to church every Sunday and give our money to the church, give our tithes, and just take this beating and never know why. Kind of reminds me of a parent who comes up to a kid and just slaps the hell out of them. And the kid looks up and says, "What'd you do that to me for, Dad?" And the father says, "I'm not going to tell you. And if you do it again, I'll whip you twice as hard next time." Now, how could you possibly make any meaningful change in your life or lifestyle or your behavior unless somebody said, "Listen, I just whipped you because you didn't feed the dog. I just whipped you because you didn't make your bed. I just whipped you because you didn't mow the grass. And if you don't do your chores, I'll whip you twice as hard next time." Well, now it tells you, well, there's something that I did or something that I did not do, and the results of it was that I got punished, and the punishment is to teach me, don't do that again. But nobody figures that out. When you have a hurricane that comes through and causes this damage, or an earthquake or a tsunami wave like you just saw in the Indian Ocean here last year, nobody ever puts two and two together and says, this is the hand of God, this is the finger of God, and that we're being punished for something that we did or did not do. I was watching TV the other day, and there was a segment on the news here, and this preacher was talking to his congregation, the few that showed up the week after Hurricane Katrina, and they were in Biloxi, Mississippi, and they're in the wreckage, in the parking lot, in the wreckage of their church. And the preacher said essentially those words. He said, we just do not know why God has done this, but we have to keep the faith, and we have to go to church and pay our tithes and do all those things that we do, but we don't know why this happened. Now, is God some kind of a jerk who does not know and understand that he's got to tell us, give us a clue, give us a connection that this hurricane is connected with behavior, and that there's a behavior problem, and I'm going to straighten you out? I've never heard a preacher ever put two and two together. You probably haven't either, so I thought in this program I would do that. I'll put two and two together for you. I'm going to show you why it is that these events transpire. And the place to start is in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And it'll tell us why Hurricane Katrina. There's a complaint that God has about your behavior. And he said, I'm going to punish you. In fact, the personal pronoun I appears in this chapter 20 times. Write that down, boys and girls, if you got a pen and paper there. 20 times. And then you go through this chapter 26. And every time you see the personal pronoun I, such as verse 25, it said, I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. In verse 21, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you. Verse 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread. Verse 28, then I will walk contrary unto you in fury. Hey, listen, that's 20 times you'll see that in there. So this isn't some guy that's hiding behind a tree somewhere that you can't know about. Now, I told you before, there's plenty of people down there praying to Jesus, praying to Allah, praying to the God of voodoo, praying to their gods to stop this disaster. No God could stop this disaster. Well, at least no God did. The disaster occurred. You knew that it was coming 7 days in advance. That's a whole lot more warning than you people in San Francisco or Los Angeles are going to get when the earthquake comes. Nobody's going to tell you, well, in 7 days, there's this big earthquake come. Get ready for it. Evacuate the city. You're going to be right there in the city when the earthquake occurs, just like the Japanese were in Kobe, Japan, when the earthquake occurred and destroyed the city. Now, these earthquakes and tidal waves and volcanic eruptions and et cetera are prophesied in Bible prophecy. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 tell you that story. But in the beginning of prophecy starts with Moses in Leviticus chapter 26. And one of the first things that God tells you in chapter 26, the first 13 or 14 verses, he says, listen, boys and girls, you and I have a deal. You and I have a contract. And that contract was ratified in Exodus 21 or 22 or 23, verse 8, 7 or 8. And it says, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. Let me flip over to that right away. Let me see if I can identify that. Exodus 21, 22, verse 8. Is this where it's at? No, verse 23. Maybe it's chapter 24, verse 8. Yep, it is. In Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8, he says, and he took the book of the covenant, he read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. So Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people, and he said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Eternal has made you with you concerning all these words. Covenant. Covenant's an old English word for the word that we use today called contract. We have a contract with the God of Abraham. Now, I don't have any contract with Allah. I don't have any contract with Buddha. I don't have any contract with Zeus or Apollo or Apis or Semiramis, or any of this pantheon of gods that mankind has been worshiping over the 5,000 years. I do have a contract with this God of the Scripture. I didn't negotiate the terms and conditions of this contract. They were imposed upon Moses. Moses came down off the mountain and talked to my great-great-great-great-granddaddy 84 generations ago, old granddad Gordon, 84 generations back, standing down at the bottom of the mountain. Moses came down off the mountain. He said, here's the deal. It's called a tender offer. Tender offer. And my great-great-granddaddy said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient, ratified the terms of the contract, and he inured that contract. The terms and conditions are inured. They inure to the heirs and the signs forever. I'm one of those heirs and the signs forever. And like as not, you are too. That's called a contract. Now, what does that got to do with Hurricane Katrina? Well, you see, under the terms of the contract, God said, I'm going to give you certain benefits. And those benefits are specifically outlined in two chapters in the Scripture. So get your pencil out here. Let me tell you where your contract terms are so that you can go read what the terms of the contract are. It's in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. It's the first 14 verses of those two chapters. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 48. Now, here's the terms of the contract. God came along, and he was standing on top of this mountain we call Sinai. And he said, now, here's what I'm going to do for you. And here's what I want from you in return. All right, now listen to this. Chapter 26. He says, you shall make you no idols nor graven images, neither shall you rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, because I am the Eternal, your God. Now, that's chapter 26, verse 1. We have a Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, and we have a Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and then we have 48 Capitol buildings in our state capitals, all made out of stone. These Capitol buildings made out of stone are the places where our legislators go to make our laws that we bow down and worship. We practice the law of New York, California, and Florida, and we do not practice the law of this God. So we're in violation of Leviticus 26, verse 1. But it gets worse as you progress along. In verse 2, he says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary because I'm the Eternal. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I hate your feasts. I hate your holy days. I hate your Christmas, your Easter, your New Year's, your 4th of July, and all the rest of the crap. What I want you to do is practice the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Last Great Day, and the Sabbath, and I want you to do it on Saturday. And we said, no, we're not going to do it on Saturday. We're going to do it on Sunday because we're sun worshipers, and we're going to worship the sun on Sunday. And then we're going to practice Easter in place of the Passover, and we're going to get up early Easter Sunday morning, and we're going to face the east and worship the sun. Now, that's our response. But I just wanted to point out here that we were told, don't do that. Okay, now that's 2. Verse 3, he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Okay, now he says, if you will walk in my statutes, if you'll follow my laws, here's what I'm going to do for you. And we said, no, God, you got that wrong. We're going to follow the laws of Florida. We're going to buckle our seatbelts, drive 55, pay our taxes to the government. We're not going to pay your tithes, and we're not going to follow your laws. We're going to follow our own laws, and we're going to elect our own representatives to make our laws. And then we're going to worship our God, the state of Florida, and the United States of America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Russia, China, and everybody else. All right? Now, here's your first three verses. In the first three verses, we get three breaches or three violations of the terms and conditions of this covenant that your great-great-granddaddy ratified about 3,100 years ago, which inure to the heirs and the signs forever, of which forever isn't up yet. I don't know how long forever is, but I do know this, tain't up yet. Tain't up yet. Verse 4, he says, I'm going to give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. We Americans have dwelt in our land safely. You Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders have not had foreign invading armies invading your land. Like the Japanese invaded the Philippines, they did not invade Australia and New Zealand. The Japanese invaded China, but they did not invade the United States of America. We were afraid they were going to, but they didn't. And that's because God, in that covenant term and condition, said that you will dwell in your land safely and you're not going to be invaded. All right, so going on, he says in verse 5, your threshing shall reach to the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Boys and girls, we Americans and Western Europeans have never known famine. Well, not since the Middle Ages. We eat our bread to the full, we eat at McDonald's. We're so fat in this country, obesity is our number one health problem. If it's not number one, it's number two. We're just fat and happy and dumb, and we don't know that there's a problem out there. All right, now in verse 6, he says, I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. There'll be no war, and you won't have wolves and lions and tigers and cobras running through your land, biting you and killing 25,000 people a year like they do in India. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. If you'll take a look at America, Australia, Canada, England, our enemies have all been vanquished. Have you noticed that? I mean, we're always triumphant in our wars. And I'll have respect unto you, and I'll make you fruitful, and I'm going to multiply you and establish my covenant with you. You know, we started out with 3 million people in the United States. We got 300 million today. In 225 years, we have multiplied tenfold. We have increased in our population. And he says, you shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. You'll have more food than you know what to do with. Why, you'll have bumper crops, and then on top of that, you'll have storage of food that you will have so much of it you won't know what to do with it all. And he says, I'll set my tabernacle among you, and my soul will not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. Because I'm the Eternal, your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondsmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. All right, now we've taken these benefits since the Louisiana Purchase back in 1803. We Americans and you Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders and you Western Europeans have been living off the fat of the land. Now, the descendants of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, that is Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, have the biggest and best blessings, along with the British. Of course, our cousin Ephraim, along with Manasseh, that's the United States, have the majority of the blessings. The rest of you guys, you know, in Denmark and Germany and Switzerland, you know, you're not doing poorly, but you're just not quite as wealthy and powerful and fat and prosperous as we are. And you had the war go through your land there in France and Denmark and Holland and Belgium, Luxembourg, you know, and in Germany. The war, the sword went through your land. It didn't go through our land. Just thought I'd share that with you. Now, our turn's coming up, boys and girls. Our brothers over in Europe, they had it in World War II. Ours is coming up in World War III. Now, in verse 14, he tells us a little more to the story. Listen to this. He says, but if you will not hearken unto me, and if you will not do all of these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment, so that you will not do all of my commandments. Notice the word all there, not half, two-thirds, 90%. He says, all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant. If you breach my contract, here's what I'm going to do to you. All right, now that Hurricane Katrina is a part of, here's what I'm going to do to you if you breach my contract. So what we've got here is a breach of contract, boys and girls. And what happened down here in the Gulf Coast states has happened before with Hurricane Camille, Hurricane Betsy, and now Hurricane Katrina. Now you got another one. As I speak right now, there's another hurricane coming, which is almost a mirror image of this Hurricane Katrina. If you'll remember, Katrina started in the Atlantic, came through the gap between Cuba and Florida, and became a Category 1 hurricane as it rounded the turn across Key West and headed north toward New Orleans, where it's picked up strength to a Category 5 and then slacked off to a Category 4 and then hit New Orleans. This hurricane, I don't know, Rosa or Rosetta or whatever it is, up to R now, is following the exact same thing. Now, I'm not a prophet, so I can't sit here and say, well, New Orleans, you're going to get it a second time. And I'm a prophet sent from God, and let me tell you what's going to happen. I don't know. But I do know what you know and everybody else can know by simply looking at these prophecies. I didn't write this. Moses did. And this prophecy, along with Deuteronomy 28, dovetails with Revelation 6, 7, 13, and 18, and Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. You put those together, and it tells you, here's what I'm going to do to you for this breach of contract. Now, here's what sin is. In case you didn't know, you've been to church, and your preacher doesn't know what sin is, and so therefore you probably don't know either. Sin is the transgression of the law. What is the law? The law is the rule, the guide. It is the code. It is the rules that we live life by. You know, we have a traffic code. We have traffic laws. We have speed laws. Drive on the right side of the road if you're in the United States, and left if you're in England. Okay, these are the rules. These are the laws, and we follow these laws. God has some laws, and he said, you do these laws, and I'm going to give you these benefits. You don't do these laws, I'm going to give you these curses. Now, let me show you what's coming. Now, here's the curses. Here's the penal clause. He says in verse 16, or verse 15, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant, if you breach the terms and conditions of this covenant, this contract, here's what I'm going to do. Verse 16, I also will do this to you. I'll even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. All right, so our farmers plant their seed, and then we harvest that seed. The farmer borrows the money at 10% interest, plants the seed, harvests it, it loads on barges, it goes down the Mississippi River, and it is sent around the world to our enemies who eat our seed. And we subsidize it and pay for it by paying interest and taxes to support it. The farmer gets your tax dollars through price supports, and the farmer gets to pay the interest, which is against the law, you know, usury and interest. That prophecy has come to pass, and he says, I'm going to appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague. Those are diseases, you know, diseases that we call muscular dystrophy and Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis and Lou Gehrig's disease and cancer and heart attack and stroke and on it goes. Now, that's already happened. If you don't practice this law, then here's what I'm going to do to you. Now, notice the personal pronoun I in verse 16. I also will do this to you. Now, when a terror group goes out and blows up a bomb and kills a bunch of people, they say, I'm from Al-Qaeda, and we did that. And we all sit there and say, wow, Al-Qaeda did that. Blame it on Al-Qaeda. God comes along and says, I have done this. And we say, oh, we just can't imagine God doing such a thing. We don't understand why we have these hurricanes, tidal waves, earthquakes, and wars. We just can't figure it out because God's ways are just way above ours, and we just can't fathom it. All right. Well, that's because those pulpit parrots that you go to church to listen to have been to a seminary, and they don't know. They haven't got a clue. They're totally clueless. And you can tell that. Just go to church. If you haven't been to church for a while, just go to church and listen to this guy for 60 minutes or 30 minutes. And when you walk out of there, ask yourself, does this guy know what he's talking about? And I think you'll come to the conclusion, this guy has not got a clue. He's not even on the same planet with me. What he's talking about here doesn't have any connection whatsoever with the real world out here. And that's why I said the other day, I said, you know, I think the evolutionists and the agnostics and the scientists and the anti-Christians and the anti-religion and anti-God people have it just about right. Time and chance happens to us all. Now, if you take a look, I mentioned this the other day. Over the course of the hurricane season, we're up to R. Let's see how many of that is. That's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R. That's the 18th hurricane of the season. Well, 18th hurricane or tropical depression or whatever. Now, every year we have about 10 hurricanes, don't we? About 10. And these 10 hurricanes, they don't always hit the United States. Sometimes they hit Honduras or Mexico or Cuba or somebody else. But once in a while, they hit the United States. Now, last year, four of them hit Florida. Now, that should have sent a signal to you people down in Florida. I'm sure that in the year 2004, as four hurricanes ravaged Florida, there must have been some Christians down there praying to Jesus and saying, oh, my God, Jesus, Jesus, please listen, pay attention. And spare us from this disaster as the hurricane comes across Florida and blows your house down and destroys your property over here as you were praying, sending your tithes to the church and praying to Jesus, and it didn't happen, did it? All right. Now, right away, one of two things. God is dead. God doesn't exist. Evolution is true. God is weak. God cannot control hurricanes. God doesn't give a rat's rectum. You know, just take your choice. Now, it should become pretty obvious to us over here that this catastrophe, I've labeled it a catastrophe, nothing like this has ever happened in the United States. And if you people down on the Gulf Coast are lamenting the problems that you're having, you want to remember, boys and girls, that you're going to get a new house, everything's going to be rebuilt down there, and it's going to be rebuilt at our expense. The people up here in Missouri are going to pay for all of that. So all of the rest of you people in America, now pay attention, because we're all getting punished together. The guy down in New Orleans lost his house, lost his business, and he's out of a job. But all the rest of us are going to pay him for his unemployment. We're going to give him a new job, rebuild his business, rebuild his house, and give it to him at 2% interest. And we're going to pay for all of that. And furthermore, we're not just going to buy him one house. We're going to buy him two or three houses. When you take a look at the amount of money that's going to be squandered by the government on this boondoggle called the rebuilding of the Gulf, you know, if it was done by private persons, it could be done for about one-tenth of the price that it's ultimately going to cost all of us taxpayers out here. So we're all going to get punished together. And I just wanted to get on the air here and tell you that the reason that we're getting punished is because we're in breach of contract. We're not following the terms and conditions of this contract. And God here in Leviticus 26 tells us 20 times, I'm the guy that's doing this to you. And I think that maybe you haven't heard about this God. The Apostle Paul was talking to a bunch of Greeks at a place called Mars Hill. You'll read about this in the book of Acts. Just look up the word Mars, M-A-R-S, in the concordance, and that'll take you to the scriptures and you read the story. And he said, you've got an inscription here to the unknown God. Unknown. You could look up the word unknown God, just UNKNOWN. Look that word up in the concordance, and I'll take you to that scripture. And he said, I'm here to declare to you who this unknown God is. I want to tell you who it is you don't know about. Now, you know about Jesus, and you know about Jupiter, and you know about Semiramis, but you don't know this unknown God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I want to introduce you to this guy because you've probably never heard of him before, and I thought that's what I'd do today. I want to introduce all of you people out here to this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God who wrote this Leviticus chapter 26. The scripture says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Now, would you like to be reproved? Would you like to be corrected? Would you like to be instructed? Would you like to find out, here's why Hurricane Katrina, here's why your house was blown down, here's why you're out of a job, and here's why all you people in Casper, Wyoming, Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine, and Seattle, Washington are going to pay the bill? Here's why. It's because we, all of us, collectively, are in breach of contract. We have not fulfilled the terms and conditions of our agreement. We're the heirs and the signs. We haven't fulfilled the terms and conditions, and there are penalties that come down. Sometimes those penalties result in getting killed. Now, this time, not very many people got killed. And that's because as you read through Leviticus 26, he starts off and he says, I'm going to lean on you guys. I'm going to give you diseases. Now, since 1900, remember back in 1900, we were virtually disease-free. In 1918, 60% of Americans were healthy. 40% had symptoms. Today, 99% of us have symptoms. 1% of us are healthy. So over the past century, beginning about 1900, when one person in 33 would expect to get cancer in his lifetime, today in the year 2005, it's one person in two can expect to get cancer in his lifetime. That's 50% of us. And by the year 2020, that's just 15 years away, they predict that it would be one in one. Every single person in America statistically can expect to get cancer at least once in his lifetime, starting in the year 2020. And so as you look through here, he says, I'm going to lay these diseases on you in verse 16. I'm going to appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. As you go through this chapter, he mentions this thing of disease two or three times. And so I just thought I'd share that with you. If you're sick, if you're diseased, if you're afraid of breast cancer, lung cancer, cervical cancer, or something else, you've got every reason in the world to be, because if you're not practicing this law, then the law of averages is going to catch up with you. Now, I mentioned that the evolutionists and the agnostics and the anti-religious people, they relate Hurricane Katrina to time and chance. That comes from the Bible. Time and chance happens to us all, except those of us that are under the terms of the covenant. Time and chance happens to the Indonesians. Time and chance happens to the Chinese. Time and chance doesn't happen to us because we're under the terms of the covenant. We're under contract. Time and chance isn't working against us. Our God is working against us, and he says so 20 times right here. Read it for yourself. Or as they say down at the Blue Room, read them and weep. Hang on, I've got to give you a reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals just like you, but by prearrangement only. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through that same webpage, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling 417-273-4967. Remember, the introductory CD package is free of charge. Just call direct 417-273-4967 to order yours. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Hurricane Katrina. What happened here, boys and girls? The answer is breach of contract. Breach of contract. Now, Solomon made this observation about time and chance happening to us. It's over in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you got a Bible, why don't you flip over to it, and I'll take you through a number of scriptures, and I'll show you here from the scripture what the cause and effect relationship is with Hurricane Katrina and the contract that we're all in breach of contract. All in breach of contract. Now, if we want to stop these hurricanes, we can do that. And that's because the prayer of a righteous man avails much. If there was one Elijah down there in the Gulf Coast, he could have stopped that hurricane. The prayer of a righteous man avails much, but there's a problem. The prayer of the righteous man will save the righteous man under Ezekiel 18, because everybody pays for his own sin. So if you think that you were down here in Biloxi, Mississippi, and your house was blown down because of the dirty, rotten sinner that lives next door to you over here, you got that one wrong. Your house was blown down for your own sins. It's your breach of contract. It's your violation of the law that has brought this punishment upon you. And this is a punishment. Make no mistake about it. I mean, boys and girls, you're not calling a hurricane that destroys 90% of the buildings in Biloxi, Mississippi, a blessing now, are you? You're not calling that a benefit, are you? Now, when you go listen to the pulpit parrots, he's not calling it a blessing, but he can't figure out what happened to you. So I'm just here to tell you, here's what happened to you. Now, for the rest of us, don't sit back and say, boy, I'm glad I don't live on the Gulf Coast, because I don't care whether you live in Riverton, Wyoming, or Miami, Florida, or Seattle, Washington, you are not beyond the reach of the God of Abraham. And he's gonna eat your lunch now if you don't shape up. Now, I'm from the old school. I wasn't raised in this new permissive society. I was raised in the era before child abuse. We didn't know what child abuse was back in the 1930s, 1940s. And when my dad said, boy, come here, you answered, yes, sir. And if you didn't, he'd slap you up alongside the head. I listen to people today and their children's response. And they answer with terms like, yeah. My God, if Ronnie Mitchell had answered his mother, yeah, she'd have slapped him in the next week. There was a time in America when people knew how to answer their mothers and fathers. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. We don't know that anymore. I bring that to your attention because there was a time when we had discipline. Discipline, that means that we could sit down, shut up, fold our hands, and do what we were told. And in the era when we had discipline, which then translates into self-discipline, we Americans did not have these kinds of hurricanes and earthquakes. At least we did not have them to the degree that we're getting them today. See, our earthquakes are getting more frequent and more violent. Our hurricanes are becoming more frequent and more violent. And so our scientists say, well, it's global warming. That may be. You know, that may be. But I want to tell you that the guy that's warming the Gulf of Mexico is the God of Abraham. It's the creator of the universe. Now, it may be that we are burning a lot of fossil fuel and we're heating up the world, but it's more than just a coincidence that Moses wrote in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 that this was going to happen or going to occur in the end times, in that period of time, in that last generation, just prior to the second coming. So I wanted to share with you the fact that this God over here says that this isn't all of it. There's more to come. So if you think you missed out on something, let me tell you, there's more hurricanes. And there's more hurricanes next year and the year after and the year after that. There will be more tidal waves. There will be more volcanic activity. There will be more earthquakes and more tidal waves that are going to cause and create more damages for which we taxpayers will have to rush in and pay. And there's coming a time when we're not going to have enough money. We're not going to have enough taxpayers. And he's going to lean on us. He says here in Leviticus 26, I'm going to lean on you. It's going to get worse. Now I said flip over here to Ecclesiastes. Now Ecclesiastes, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And it's around chapter 9, out here toward the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, where we read about this time enchantment. I got it written down here on my book, blah, blah, blah. Here's time and chance. Yep, here it is. Time and chance, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. So in verse 11 he says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. Time and chance happens to them all. Now, the reason that time and chance occurs is because you have violated the terms and conditions of the contract. Go back to Leviticus chapter 26 and couple that with Deuteronomy 28. And God says, I will bless you in everything that you do. I will bless you in the city. I will bless you in the land. Now, New Orleans is a city. New Orleans is not a blessed city today. It is a city that has been cursed by the living God, and it has been punished by the living God. And there was a woman being interviewed by one of the newscasters, you know, one of these correspondents, you know, from ABC or whatever it was I was watching, and he said, do you think that this flood is going to cancel Mardi Gras? And she said, horse feathers. That's what her words, horse feathers. We will have Mardi Gras. And I'm going to tell you a little something about this Mardi Gras. But you know, Mardi Gras is a part and parcel with paganism. It's a part and parcel with your problem. The reason you got this hurricane is Mardi Gras. It's not the only reason, but it is a reason. The reason you're being punished in New Orleans, you got it. You got the big one came in and whooped you, as the old man used to say. I'm going to give you a whooping. You Yankees, you know, that's a whipping. Down here in the South, it's a whooping. W-U-P-P-U-N, it's a whooping. That's where the old man grabs you and just laces you a few good ones and says, now, if you do that again, and it'll get worse next time. And that's what Leviticus 26 is telling you. It says, I'm going to lean on you to start with, and then it's going to get worse and worse. He said, no, I'll punish you seven times more for your sin. Then he says, I'll punish you seven times more with fury. And then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. So it gets progressively worse. So we have, over the past century, been getting some pretty significant punishments. But these punishments are becoming more severe, and they're becoming closer and closer together. This one's catastrophic. Our economy will not survive this one. I don't believe it. 9/11 threw us into recession. I mean, it really, we were starting into recession in March of 2000, but that 9/11 trillion-dollar hit finished the job. So the only solution was hyperinflation. They've been hyperinflating. Even with hyperinflation, you will not be able to put enough liquidity into the marketplace to keep this thing from going into depression or stagflation. So they'll print more money, and we'll go into hyperinflation. That's 5,000% inflation per year. We'll just inflate the dollar right out of existence. That's what's coming. Boy, that's not going to be good, boys and girls. That's a curse. That's a curse worse than Miss Katrina. Now, this time and chance happens to people who don't practice the law. You atheists and agnostics out there, you're not whistling Dixie through a straw hat. You're exactly right. The chances of the big one hitting New Orleans was a matter of probabilities. It was a gamble. With 10 hurricanes a year, over 30 years, that's 300. The odds were 300 to 1 between Betsy and Katrina, and it happened with Katrina. And if it didn't happen now, it could have happened in the next 50 or 75 hurricanes or 100 hurricanes, which would be over the next 5 or 10 years. But it's coming again, New Orleans. You're going to get another Class 5 hurricane, and it's going to breach your levees again, and it's going to flood your city again. You're going to get another earthquake out here on the Madrid Fault. You people here in the central United States, you're not immune from earthquakes. Biggest earthquake ever recorded in the United States occurred in 1809 on the Madrid Fault down here in the boot heel of Missouri. You're not immune. None of us are. You're not immune from tidal waves. Now, you people in North Dakota are immune from tidal waves, but you're not immune from a winter, a blizzard like 1886. Now, come on, boys and girls. If we insist upon giving our God the finger and telling him to kiss off, I think you're doing it to the wrong guy. Honest to God, I think we're doing it to the wrong guy. You might want to do that to Baal or Buddha or Allah or somebody else. You know, these gods that are no gods. But this guy is a real God, and this guy means business. This guy, I keep telling you, is meaner than a junkyard dog. Nice guy when you follow instructions. Meaner than a junkyard dog when you give him any static. All right, now over here in Matthew 7, you know, people like to think of themselves as being pretty good people. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 7. Listen to this. This is your God talking to you now. And he's just kind of laying it on you. And he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Can you see that law? What's the will of God in heaven? Well, he just told you in Leviticus 26, you practice this law, I'll give you these benefits. You don't practice these laws, I'm going to give you these curses. Now, we're suffering from these curses, and the preachers, the pulpit parrots, haven't got a clue as to why. They can't figure out why. The evolutionists, they come along and they say, well, it's just time and chance. They're right. It is. It's just time and chance. And time and chance happens to everybody outside the law, outside the covenant, outside the contract. You're right. That tsunami can happen to you. That earthquake can happen to you. Kobe, Japan, and that earthquake, it's time and chance. That tsunami in Indonesia, time and chance. Now, if you want to get outside time and chance, then you need to come under the terms of the covenant. And under the terms of the covenant is, you have to practice this law. You practice the law of God, you won't have these problems. Now, you people down on the Gulf Coast made a choice, and your choice was, I'm going to live on the ocean. Now, Matthew 24 tells you that when you see Jerusalem encompassed by armies, you should flee to the mountains. So years ago, little Georgie Gordon left the seacoast of California, Eureka, California, and I moved to the Ozarks of Missouri, and I have moved to the mountains. So I'm not going to suffer one of those 64 life-threatening problems called tsunamis and hurricanes. Now, there's 64 of these problems, 64 of these life-threatening problems. Earthquakes is another one. Now, that New Madrid Fault is over here in eastern Missouri. I'm out in western Missouri. And the earthquakes are around the Pacific Rim, so I moved away from the Pacific Rim. I moved into what we call Tornado Alley. Tornado Alley. Okay? So, we have tornadoes to worry about here. Now, I want to avoid time and chance, so I'm very careful to obey God, keep His commandments, and practice this law. Now, many of you people go to church. In fact, 65% of you listening to me right now go to church every Sunday. And you're doing those things that you believe need to be done to make you right with God. And yet here's your God telling you, he says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that prays, oh, Jesus, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now in verse 22 he says, many will say to me in that day, many of you people listening to me right now are going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we in your name cast out devils and in your name done many wonderful works? Haven't we fed winos on Skid Row on Christmas and Thanksgiving? In the soup kitchens. Those are good works, no doubt about it. Feeding winos on Skid Row on Thanksgiving and Christmas, feeding the homeless, giving alms to the poor, those are good works. But remember, the key here is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what is God's will in heaven? That you practice Mardi Gras? Or that you practice thou shalt not commit adultery? Which is the exact opposite to Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is the antithesis of thou shalt not commit adultery. Fornication. Theft. Licentiousness. Now, you people down in New Orleans have a good time during Mardi Gras. I don't deny that. I mean, it's party time, and everybody's having fun, sipping margaritas, taking all your clothes off and running up and down Bourbon Street and having a real wild time down there, dressing up in all kinds of costumes and cross-dressing so that you can dress up like Tootsie and other people can dress up like men. I was down there and walking down the street, and I said to my wife, "No, that's a striking woman." And my wife said, "That's a transvestite. That's a queer. That's not a woman." I couldn't tell the difference. Looked better than Tootsie to me. Did you know that that's a crime? Do you know that it violates the law of God to cross-dress, to wear clothes that pertain to a woman or wear clothes that pertain to a man? Did you know that? I didn't write that law. I'm just here to tell you. And in verse 23, he goes on to say, here's what he's going to say to you. When you come to Jesus and you say in that day, "Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name and cast out devils and done many wonderful works?" He said, "I'm going to profess unto you, Christian, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, you that work lawlessness." I just thought I'd tell you. Now, before that event transpires, we're waiting for the second coming. Every day that goes by brings you one day closer to that inevitable event called the second coming of Christ, which I can remember as a boy. We used to use this term. You know, that guy is slower than the second coming. The second coming is a very slow, long, drawn-out, tedious event. But it's only going to happen once. It's kind of like Noah's flood. Noah's flood was long, slow, and drawn out for 120 years. It's because it only happens once. We had one flood, and there's not going to be another one. So there's a prophecy you can count on. Well, at least there's not going to be a worldwide flood. Now, these local floods, you can expect many more of them. God said, "I'll give you rain in due season." Boys and girls, a hurricane is not rain in due season. That's not what you're looking for. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. Those four hurricanes that raped Florida last year, that wasn't a blessing. That's not rain in due season. Now, the God of Abraham said to you, "I'll give you rain in due season. I'll give you the former rains and the latter rains so that you can harvest your crops." And when he gives us a hurricane that blows 150 miles an hour and tears the roof off the Superdome up there, boys and girls, that's not blessing time. That's curse time. Let's face reality. Now, maybe your preacher doesn't have the answer. And you may be one of those kind of people that lies awake at night with all these answers in your head. And you jump up in the morning and say, "My God, I've got to go to church so that I can find out what the questions are to all of my answers." Because the preachers, they haven't got answers. They've got questions. So if you're one of those that have the answers, you can go to church and get the questions and match the two up. Most of us over here have a lot of questions. We don't have many answers. You don't need to go to church to get any answers, at least not any answers from the Bible. They don't read the Bible, number one. They don't follow the Bible, number two. And number three, they teach against the Bible. Just ask any preacher, "Do you follow the Passover?" "No, no, that's Jewish. That's Old Testament. We don't follow that." Jesus didn't know that. Jesus was a dumbbell. Jesus was stupid. He thought the Old Testament was in full force in effect. Did you know that? He wasn't smart. He didn't go to seminary. That's what his problem was. He didn't have any letters after his name. Did you know that Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Did you know that? Look it up. Matthew 4, verse 4. We're right here. We're on Matthew 7. Just back up here a couple pages. In Matthew 4:4, see if I can find it here. Be patient with me. I'm a plumber. I'm not a preacher. I've been to seminary. Matthew 4, verse 4, he says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Where did he get that idea? That you ought to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not 1, 2, 5, 10, 15, 90%, or 99%. He said every word. Every single one. Can you believe it? That's Jesus. If you got a red letter Bible, that's a first person quotation. Well, he cited that from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. So just write that down in your notes, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He cited that from Moses. Moses said that. Did you know that? I'm going to go cite that for you. Flip over here to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Let me show you. Jesus quoted Moses. Jesus did not know the Old Testament had been abolished and done away and nailed to the cross with Jesus when he died. That's because he didn't go to seminary and he didn't get educated and he didn't have any letters after his name and he didn't know anything. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, he said, "And he humbled you, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Eternal does man live." Let me point something else out to you. When Jesus made that statement that is cited there, recorded in Matthew 4, verse 4, was he citing that from Matthew 4:4? Had the book of Matthew been written yet? Boys and girls, Matthew hadn't even been called yet, had he? He certainly hadn't written the book of Matthew. He didn't do that until after Jesus died. The only scriptures that Jesus and the apostles had was the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill." He went on to say that whosoever Therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men, so he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Does your preacher teach the least commandments in your church, and teach you that you ought to practice the least commandments in your church? Does he teach you that? Do you suppose maybe that your preacher is a lying hypocrite and a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing? I just throw it out for your consideration, because the same preacher over here probably can't tell you what happened with Hurricane Katrina. All right, I'm about out of time, but I want to point out that in Luke 6, verse 46, let's just cover one more quick one here. I got about one more minute. Luke 6, verse 46. Jesus made a pretty wild statement here. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you people in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast go to church on Sunday, 65% of you, and do not those things which Jesus told you to do?" He told you, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are we living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or are we in breach of contract? Have we violated the terms and conditions of our covenant with our God? And is that why Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 is now slapping us up alongside the head like old dad? Well, I'm here to tell you, boys and girls, old dad just slapped us up alongside the head. And don't kid yourself that he didn't tell you why. Now go back to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, and he's telling you, here's why I did that to you. And I'm going to do it again, and again, and again, and it's going to be seven times worse next time. And if you won't be reformed by this, God help you. Because George Bush and the Republicans can't. And neither can the taxpayers, because there's not going to be enough money to pay for these continual curses. I'm out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. We'll take it up right there. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet, title and date. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.